morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. True pleasure across the way for me. I've got the young ladies. They come here probably about once a year. When's the last time you guys were here anyway? Jamie, when do you think?
It was in March before the museum opened.
Before the museum opened
before
for the season.
Before the season
okay.
opened.
All right. A lot of things going on at the Hanna House Museum here in the upcoming few, not just this week, but next week with the Fall Fun Fest. And then you've got homecoming with people coming back to town. You'll have extra hours and that kind of thing. We'll talk about that. Talking to Jamie Rathey. Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
I'm fine.
I appreciate you being here. Good morning, Nikki. How are you today?
I am just fine, Bruce.
I need you guys, by the way, to talk. I needed to tell you straight into the microphone. There you go, Jamie. Nikki, I appreciate that. Sorry about that. The ladies are twins. They run Uniquely Rustique here in town. I'm glad to be able to steal you guys away from the store for a few minutes. Now, has the store opened, I presume?
It's supposed to be.
You hope so, huh?
Yeah, hope so.
Well, that's cool. Okay, now tell me what is your tie? Give me again what's your tie to the Hanna House Museum.
We've worked for the Historical Society for the museum about, 7 years now? And we take care of the Hanna House on Saturdays. Whenever it's open, we take care of it.
And the Hanna House is open just Saturdays only, right?
Unless you make an appointment, yeah.
How often do you get folks making an appointment? I guess, other than schools. For that matter, how often do schools come send kids up there to visit?
We have school groups. In the spring, we have more than we do in the fall. But we have school groups come 3 or 4 times in the fall.
Why do you think there are more in the spring than in the fall?
That I can't answer.
Any idea, Nikki? What do you think?
Teachers want to get them out of class. They're done learning, you know. They want to get them out of class.
It's sunshiny, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That makes some sense. What is going on there both today and also or tomorrow and next week? Anything tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow's just a normal day at the Hanna House. From 10 to 2, you can come and you can look and see what's there. Next week, though, we're having a big birthday party because the building itself turns 140 years old.
The building turns 140 years old next week.
The original part of the building.
Really?
Yes.
Which part of the building is the original part?
Well, it would be the taller part when you go down there. And now the vice president of the Historical Society, Michael Mossberger, has been painting down there.
Uh-huh.
So there's a definite difference. He's painted the windows in the older section.
Inside or out?
On the outside, so okay. You can see it when you drive by. It was a house originally, so you can kind of see where the original house was.
Give me a little history on the house. I mean, if it was built in 1876, who built it? Apparently Mr. Hanna.
Well, he had it built. One of the, I didn't write it down, one of the premier builders in Fairfield built the house for him. But he was... He came from Ohio originally, and he was one of the youngest people in Illinois to become a lawyer. And he became part of the state legislature, helped draft the Constitution, and he was one of the youngest legislators then. So I guess he was pretty smart.
Well, so that would have been this. He probably built the house after they'd already done the Constitution, because that was 1870. Recent Constitution.
He had gotten married, then he went and he was in the state legislature for a while, and then he also was a lawyer for the railroad. So he had, and at that time the railroad was a pretty big deal around here, so he had money.
Tell me about any idea, do you have like original receipts or original documentation on the house itself? How do you nail it down to 1876?
Well, we've got, it was actually in one of the papers, in one of the newspapers.
The record, I guess?
Yeah. In the newspapers, they mentioned that he was building a house, and he started building it in 1874. It was completed in 1876, and the paperwork, I don't know if it was filed at the courthouse or what, but it cost him $8,000.
No
to
kidding.
Build the house. So it was a nice house.
That's a nice pad back in 1876.
It was,
you
it was
figure
a nice
that
one.
You could probably build... I'm just thinking of inflation. But you could probably build a shack or a shotgun shotgun shack for about $200 or $300.
Yeah.
I bet you an $8,000. Any idea what that is in today's terms?
It would be, well, we've been looking to try to move to Fairfield because we still live in West Salem, and all the houses of that caliber would be now at least what, $250,000?
At least $200,000.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. How long did Mr. Hanna live there?
Well, his family, two of his children lived there their whole lives.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How old were they?
Well, RP died in what, 49?
Yeah.
RP was one of his son, was his son. He died in 49.
So it remained a permanent residence.
It was a residence for a long time.
Until I guess the clinic was the next thing to take it over.
Well, the son left the house to the city to be turned into a library.
And he wanted it named after
them. It was supposed to be the Hanna Public Library.
And this would have been about pretty close to the same time they were building the library very close to
us. Yes, right. Yes. But it would have taken so much remodeling to turn it into a library that it just didn't work out. So the city...
And Mr. Hanna was gone anyway at that point.
Yes, and so the city... didn't accept the gift,
or the library foundation
didn't accept the gift, and they ended up selling the building to the hospital, which turned it into a medical clinic then.
No kidding. Any idea who the first doctors were? I was talking with Lynn earlier that Dr. Marks was in there.
Dr. Marks and Dr. Konarski.
Dr. Talaga was in there.
I'm not exactly sure who the first one was. And they had some dentist upstairs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you still have some of the equipment? Didn't you have like some of the dentist equipment or something
like
that?
Yeah, we still have.
Do you still have the dental chair?
We still have one.
Yeah, there's one dental chair.
Yeah. Oh. And it's pretty scary looking.
I bet it is. Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So now I guess you don't have that on display very often.
It's on display. We've got a medical room in the museum, and we've got pictures. We don't have any old pictures of the clinic itself, but we have pictures of the hospital, and we have old medical equipment in there, so the kids can see it.
I'm trying to think. That would have been about the same time also then as the hospital was starting.
Yes.
I mean, they built the hospital in 1950 as well.
Yes. Right. So, yeah.
So this would be like an extra little clinic that they had. But they did extensive remodeling on the Hanna House. So when you go in the front doors, that's all the new construction. Of course, we say new construction, but 1950, so it's, 60 years old.
So, okay, to the south then.
Yes. Yes.
On the south end of the building, that's the newer part. That's the, that'd be 65 years old now.
Yes.
Apparently. I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever even been upstairs in that north side of it.
Well, you can't go upstairs now.
That's not where the medical.
No, the medical stuff's downstairs. We can't have anybody upstairs.
Yeah.
Because of liability.
Can you see whenever you're going through the house? Can you? I don't. Either as a museum goer, or whenever you guys are doing your proctoring or whatever, you go upstairs and have to do your curating, let's call it. Can you see any part of the original, can you tell where somebody's bedroom was, or where somebody's kitchen is, where the kitchen was?
No,
not really. Judith had, when the city first got the building back and started and turned it over to the Historical Society, Judith had some architect there, and they went and they, Judith Puckett had some architect there, and they went and they looked at the, they looked and they figured out where the kitchen would have been, and they figured out some things like that, where the original walls would have been.
Yeah.
But when you go inside, it doesn't look, the windows towards the north end are the big windows, but it doesn't look, I mean, people go, oh, it looks like a house, Victorian. No, it doesn't. It's
not from the inside.
Not from the inside.
Well, that's the thing. Those windows on the north side, they've been replaced When's the last time they were replaced?
They're original to the house.
Are they original to the house?
The windows on the north end, the bigger windows, you can come by, and they've still got the wavy glass in them.
No kidding.
They're original to the house.
How about that? That's really cool. How's the draft on the north end?
It's cold there. That's why we don't have hours in the wintertime, because it's cold there in the wintertime.
Well, it would have to be. And the place is of course, air-conditioned. And
Somewhat, yes.
Somewhat.
Yes, somewhat, yeah.
Window units?
Yes, we have window units. And it's not bad. Once the walls are so thick that once it gets cooled off, it stays pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm familiar with an old house like that, too. Once it gets cool, it stays cool. Once it gets hot, it stays hot.
It stays hot, yeah.
I'm talking with Nikki and Jamie Rathey about the Hannah House Museum turning 140, well, not the museum itself, but the Hannah House turning 140 years old this next week. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what's going on next week. They've got a book signing. They've got all kinds of things going on. I saw in the paper last night somebody gave you a car, gave you a couple of cars.
Yeah, Derby cars. Yeah.
Well, I was trying to build it up. Folks maybe thought they gave you real cars.
No, there's not room for real cars there, Bruce. You haven't been. That's one thing,
Jamie,
you haven't been.
Oh, I know, Nikki. Nikki and Jamie got on me last March about not having been, and I had told you I was going to go, and I still intend to go. I can't go this week or next week, but I tell you what, I do still intend. I'll be there.
Okay.
Okay. Now I've made the promise on the radio. I have to do it. Talking, like I said, with the Rathey girls, you're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back with the ladies after these.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get back together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
Hold it, now I want to hoodwink. Does it make you stop, think? You'll think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish, although I like the chalet sweets, I like the sushi, cause it's never touch a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes, big like Leanne rhymes, because I'm all about value. Bert Camper's got the mad hits. You try to match wits, you try to hold me, but I bust through. Can I make a break and take a pick? I like a sinking ache and shake. I like vanilla, it's the finest of the flavors. Gotta see the show, cause then you'll know the vertigo is gonna go, cause it's so dangerous, you'll have to sign a waiver. Can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile, though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Can't understand what I mean, well you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of taking off my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Threw your arms in the air and said you're crazy. 5 days since you tackled me. I still got the red burns on both my knees. It's been 3 days since the afternoon. You realize it's not my fault, but only too soon. Yesterday you'd forgiven me, and now I'll sit back and wait till you say you're sorry.
The Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick and your brain stops sticking. Watching X-Files with no lights on, with all our maisons. I hope the Smoky Man's in this one. Like Harrison Ford, I'm getting frantic. Like Sting, I'm tantric. Like Snickers, guaranteed to satisfy. Like Kurosawa, I make mad films. K, I don't make films, but if I did, they'd have a samurai. Gonna get a set of better clubs. Gonna find the kind with tiny nubs, just so my arms aren't always flying off the backswing. Gonna get into my Sailor Moon, cause the cartoonist got the boom anime babes that make me think the wrong thing. How can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile, though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral, can't understand what.
Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. My name is Bruce Dickey. Joined today by Nikki Rathey and Jamie Rathey from the Hannah House Museum, as they also from Uniquely Rustique here in town. Let me do the plug for Uniquely Rustique. It's September. It's school time. You got a lot of folks coming in there and finding stuff for school, don't you, Nick?
Yeah, well, that's pretty much, school's been in session for a while, so the teachers are pretty much set on what they have. But
parents come in there and find stuff for their kids?
Yes, we have lots of little homework books and lots of little games and stuff to help if they need help with their letters or multiplication or something like that. We've got lots of games to help with
that. Do you have like new math books and stuff like that? Because somebody keeps telling me they're just all this new math and they teach division differently than whenever I was there.
We don't carry a lot of that. We can order a bunch of it. We don't carry a lot of it. We don't have a lot of people come in and ask for it.
I didn't know if if parents might come in and say, my kid's 8 and he's getting past what I know.
Yeah. we can help him out there.
Well, that's cool. Nikki and Jamie are here today, though. We've been talking about the Hannah House Museum. It is turning 140 years old. Well, not the museum, but the house itself. How long has it been a museum? When did it get turned over to the city?
I think it actually became a museum in about 2004. So it's been a museum about 12 years.
Yeah. What kind of numbers will you get, do you think? Probably... How many visitors a year? 10,000? 20,000?
No, let's go the other way. Our average weekly attendance is about 10 or 15,
Okay. Which
is a lot better than last year.
Really?
So we're kind of encouraged by that because...
I'm helping you, aren't I?
You are.
I'm trying to.
Because we are getting a few more people come in there.
Well, you see, now that's the thing. You've also got the big weekend coming up. Next weekend with... There are reunions in town. People have planned their reunions around the Fall Fun Fest and that kind of thing. But you've also, tell me about the big book signing.
Okay, Roberta Simpson Jones, she was raised in Boylston. She has written a book about Boylston. It's called Because of Boylston. And she has published this book. She's paid for it all by herself.
And that's a nice... That's an accomplishment.
It's a big deal, and she's going to be at the museum on Saturday the 17th. So not tomorrow, but next Saturday, and she's going to sign books, and she'll sell you one for $20.
You just got this book yesterday.
Yes.
So you brought it in. I really appreciate you bringing that in. That is a great looking book, and there are color pictures in it as well as maps. And it's terrifically well done. It's not just what you would think of somebody right now, you know, a little handbook or something like that. You'll see the occasional paperback. This is not paperback.
This is an impressive work here. Yes.
Roberta Simpson Jones is the author. She is the daughter of Bert Simpson. Folks might remember Bert from around here. He wrote a book himself a while back, Bert, the oldest boy of Miles Simpson, and there are still two or three Simpson folks, two Simpsons and a Taylor, still hanging around Fairfield. I was at Bob, by the way, he had his 90th birthday celebration last month, and Bob is one of Bert's siblings, so Bob would be her uncle.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Roberta put a lot of work into this. She must be retired, right?
I
have you met
so.
Her?
No, I've never met her. I'm looking forward to meeting her next weekend.
That's the thing. There's a lot of research in that book. And where does one go? Do you have? I know you folks also help curate the museum over at the library. Do you have folks come looking for research? Do they come to you looking to help for research?
All the time, and according to Roberta's stuff, she got a lot of her information from her grandmother's diary.
Really?
Back then, people did. I mean, they didn't have Facebook back then, so they wrote a lot of things.
Didn't
down.
Have blogs.
No, their diary was their blog, I guess.
Yeah.
So they wrote a lot of stuff down. And the museum, in the archives at the library, we have a lot of letters, and that's where a lot of the information comes from, letters and diaries and things like that.
Well, her grandmother would have been born, golly, deep into the 1800s, I'm thinking, right? Probably.
Yeah,
probably.
I would imagine so,
yeah.
Yes.
I'm not sure what her dates are. But, yeah, that would be to find. You really probably couldn't do a nice book like that without being able to find a good resource.
You'd have to have, she had a lot of family information. You'd have to have a lot because this is a big book.
It's a big book. It's several hundred pages, but it's a couple hundred pages anyway. And it's got great, I was just thumbing through it now, and the girls have told me that I can't ask them questions about the book since they just got it. I was thumbing through a minute ago. There was some fellow, they had his purse. He drowned, and they had a picture of his purse in there that was, like you see in the old movies, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't realize that there were enough. They had their stories of rivers going through Boylston. I guess it's before all the fields were drained, right?
I would imagine so.
See, I can't ask you that question either, can I?
No, I haven't. Honestly, I haven't read the book. I just got it yesterday. I haven't read it.
Are you going to? Do you plan to?
I will probably read it, yes.
Okay, well, I'm just asking. I didn't need, you don't need to get defensive, Jamie.
I'm not getting defensive. I'm just saying I haven't read it yet. It's a lot to read, and I haven't gone
yet. Okay. Well, you see, that's the thing. You're a busy person, too. You got the Hannah House Museum.
Yeah.
All right. You were telling. I was asking you a little bit about research. What kind of research would somebody ask you if they're doing, if they're like, what kind of information is available from the Hannah House Museum or also from the Public Library Museum? What kind of information would people come to you for?
A lot of people come. They start, usually it's when they retire, they start looking for their roots, and they come looking for, you know, their ancestors and stuff like that. And there's a very extensive genealogy section at the library, and they can help. The librarians are really good about helping that with that. The archives at the museum, we have all the old, you know, Wayne County records and all the old Wayne County presses from way back.
So yeah, the microfiche. Yeah. Have they been converted?
We've got the original papers.
Oh, really?
We've got a lot of the original papers.
Do they come in those great big old books, the mm-hmm. big old bound books?
Yeah, yes. A lot of them are bound. We have a lot of bound books of newspapers.
My goodness, how far back does that go?
I'm not exactly sure. I've seen them in the mid-1800s. So.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
That's
so you can go in and you can actually touch and look at them if you want.
You know, those papers are probably quite frail.
Yes. Yeah. You got to be careful.
Yeah. I'm surprised they still let people back there, I guess.
Well, it's part of the archives, and we don't, I mean, most of the time if you want something.
I suspect you're not letting kids back there work on independent study.
No.
For
you're
sixth and seventh grade or something like that.
You're definitely supervised, and most of the stuff that they would want, they can find on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Tell me a little bit about the Hannah House Museum. I know that last time you were here, we were talking about some of the, about the number of different shows or exhibits inside. Mm-hmm. What new exhibits have you put up this year? I know you rotate them around from time to time.
Well, if people read the paper last night, there Judith wrote an article about two derby cars, not real cars, but derby cars that were donated by the...
So do you have an exhibit yet? Do you have the derby cars out?
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, they're out. You can get them.
What was it? The name of one of them, Little Punchy or something like that?
I can't remember what it is. Little Pokey.
Little Pokey.
Little Pokey. Good job.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jamie. Where'd you put the cars?
They're just one of them is actually sitting up on top of a display case right now, but you can see it from the floor, but we're going to move it, and the other one's sitting right down on the floor, so you can just walk right up to it and look at it.
How much of the stuff there can people put hands on?
How much are they supposed to put hands on? That's what I meant to ask.
Okay, yeah. How much are they supposed to be able to put hands on?
Strongly discourage people from touching things.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not, people think, oh, a museum, it's all behind glass and stuff like that. The Hannah House can't do that. We just don't have that kind of capability. So
we are trying.
A lot of it is, you know, in cases and stuff. A lot of it, you know, you can walk right up to it. We've got one of the Shelton cars right there, and you can walk right up to it. Now, you know, you're going to get in trouble if you actually touch it.
It's roped off to where you can't actually get.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you have all these kids groups here, or the classes come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You probably got to watch those kids like a hawk.
They're really pretty good. We actually have more of a trouble with the adults.
Wait a second.
I'm sorry, Bruce.
Are you serious? No, don't say you're sorry, but I'm just shocked by that. I would think you'd have like little sticky fingers and little sticky fingers.
The kids, if you tell them, a lot of the younger ones have never been to a museum before, so the idea just kind of blows them away, and they're pretty good.
Really?
Now, we did
the idea of going someplace
and seeing old stuff. And they think,
no kidding.
You know, old stuff, like if it was before they were born, if they're 5 years old, then it's ancient, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
But they do pretty good. Now, we did have one time one little girl picked up something and she put it in her pocket because she thought it was a souvenir. But that was one time.
So after you beat her.
We didn't beat her.
She was four. She was a preschool group that came through.
So after you, clubbed her with a paddle.
We did not club her. We just explained to her that you can't take that stuff, and she gave it back to us. And then she got a pencil. So, you know,
now that's cool.
That was fine.
She still got something.
You traded her the pencil for the
artifact
for George Washington's Purple Heart or whatever it was.
A baby shoe. I really think
she picked up a baby shoe.
Okay, well, I'm wondering about the adults. What are the adults palming?
They don't palm anything. We just had picked trouble. Sometimes we had one guy. Well, when we had the noose
the Charlie Berger noose.
Charlie Berger noose. We had a guy stand right there in front of the cop. We had a city policeman there, and he got right in the case and wanted to take a selfie with the noose around his neck. I mean, stuff like that.
Oh, what an idiot.
Well, yeah, we had one guy climb over the rope so he could sit
next
on the carpet
next to the car.
Next to the Shelton car and get his picture taken, and I had to, you know, you can't do that.
You see, now that's the thing, folks. You would think folks would realize that there's a potential for damage.
Yeah. And most 99% of the time, everybody does just what they're supposed to.
You sure you want me coming in?
Yeah, you can come in.
You're gonna
if I have to follow you around, I will. But you know, I kind of trust you now. If you can come next week, there'll be a general store outside
kids,
and you can actually touch and feel that kind of stuff.
Now, what's the general store gonna entail?
We're going to have, we've done this a couple other times in other places, and how do you explain it? What we do is we sell things to the kids for like 1800 prices.
Is that right?
So you can buy like a bar of soap for
5 cents
or a candy stick for 5 cents.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Something. And the kids don't have to bring any money. What we do is we'll just give them a quarter and see how much they can buy for a quarter. And we've got old style toys, and we've got vegetables and dishes and old stuff that would be in a general
store.
That they would see in a general store. And we're going to have that outside.
Well, that's great, Jamie. Sounds like a lot of fun.
People get the picture, though, that it's a real general store. It's nice, but it's a couple folding tables.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have to use your imagination.
Well, that's part of childhood anyway.
Yes.
I've got Nikki and Jamie Rathey here. We're talking about the Hannah House Museum turning 140 next week, and we're going to talk a little bit more with those folks about that on the Bruce Dickey Show when we return. You are listening on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Also online at WFIWradio.com.
Up there and hang out.
Like open the fridge and stuff and
garlicky foods laid out for us with little pre-wrapped sausages and things.
Mm.
They have pre-wrapped sausages, but they don't have pre-wrapped bacon.
Well, can you blame them?
Yeah.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a fur coat, but not a real fur coat. That's cruel. And if I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you an exotic pet.
Yep, like a llama or an emu.
And if I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. We're talking history. Talking the Hannah House Museum, and the Hannah House is going to have a big deal next Saturday. Going to have a book signing for Roberta Simpson Jones, as she has created the book Because of Boylston. And it is, I must tell you, surprising to me how well done that is.
It's a very nice book, yes. I was surprised too.
And so they'll have a signing there. Do you think, do you get more folks to, I think I asked you this off the air, do you get more folks to come in during festivals or that kind of thing?
Usually the Fall Fun Fest is a big weekend, even if we wouldn't have had anything going on. There's just more people, more reunions, family get-togethers and stuff. So we usually have more during the Fall Fun Fest.
Have you, I saw that you had the donation. We talked a little bit ago about the donation of the Soapbox Derby card. You probably don't remember the Fall Fun Fest when they had the races. Do you remember those?
No.
Because I do, but they didn't. I never got old enough to ride in one. They had shut that down before I was old enough to, ride in the Soapbox Derby. How does one make donations to the Hannah House Museum? I mean, other than, of course, you can always write you a check.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, cash is easy.
Yes.
But you probably have folks trying to, or who will occasionally offer you historic materials, right?
Oh, right. They come to if they can't get to the Hannah House when it's open, they usually bring them to Uniquely Rustique. So,
but we can only take things that have a Wayne County connection.
Oh, really?
Now, we have enough stuff now where we don't have a lot of room for things that don't have a Wayne County connection. But this week we did get something really cool. We got the barber's chair from Pete and Max Barbershop.
Really? Which one did you get? Pete, Max, which one?
I think it's Pete's.
Pete's?
Yeah.
So it's the south end.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think so. And we got that, and we've got some of the old barber tools and stuff. And it's it's available to see.
I sat in that chair many, many times. That was Pete was pretty much my exclusive barber for 10 or 15 years. Actually, I think I sat in it after he took it home.
Yeah, because it was on his porch when he couldn't go into the shop anymore. He did haircuts on his porch.
He did haircuts on his porch. Yeah, and I how about that? So there you go. I can give you a little of the provenance.
Yeah.
Of the Pete chair, the Pete Greenwood chair. Now that's really cool. How much stuff do you have on display as opposed to in storage and prepared to display at a moment's notice if somebody makes you or asks you to display something?
People would be surprised at how much stuff is in there. There is a lot. If you're into history, there is a lot of stuff in there. I mean, I don't know. I can't give you a number on how many artifacts are in there.
Yeah, like a percentage-wise, you think.
You mean how much of a percentage is on display and how much of a percentage is being stored?
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially upstairs. You said you can't let people upstairs. That's where you store it a lot of.
Okay. Well, I'd say over 75% of the stuff, at least at the Hannah House, is on display.
Okay.
There's a few things upstairs that... you know, that are in storage, but I'd say, 75%?
Probably 70-75%.
You rotate some displays? I mean, you've got several are permanent fixtures. I mean, you're not going to move the car.
We can't move the Shelton stuff.
Can't move the Shelton stuff because folks want to see that.
Yes, we've added some stuff to that, but we can't move that. But we do switch things out quite a bit.
What's next on the agenda for the displays? What do you have in mind? What's coming up next year?
We don't plan quite that far in advance.
Because you're going to be closing here eventually.
Well, at the end of October, yes, because there's not a lot of heat in the building. Yeah. It gets pretty cold there in the wintertime. Yeah. So we will get together sometime in October, November, maybe even January, and we'll talk about it. And this year we moved a bunch of stuff around. We didn't actually bring stuff down from upstairs. Some stuff went upstairs, but we didn't. But it's just, and a lot of stuff depends on what things come in. Like the Derby cars, that was new. We didn't expect them to come in, and they came in this year.
And the barber chair just came in this week.
Right.
And it's too heavy to get up the stairs.
Yeah.
It's going to be permanently displayed.
Yeah, it's kind of heavy.
Yeah.
It's really not moving.
It took several guys to get it up the steps.
I'll bet that's right. Yeah. I'll bet that's right. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, it was heavy.
Tell me a little bit about the you're going to be I had a question in mind and it just ran away. What's the oddest thing? All right, you just got a soapbox derby car. You got two of them. Uh-huh. You just got a barber chair from Pete and Max downtown, historical barber chair. Uh-huh. That thing was open for years and years and years. What do you think's the oddest item anyone has ever donated for display?
Swamp monster?
Yeah, we've got the Pond Creek Swamp Monster. That's probably the oddest thing.
Pond Creek Swamp Monster. Is that like one of those things where people put a antlers on a rabbit or something?
We got one of those too.
A jackalope?
Yeah, we got a jackalope. But yeah. It's actually they took the rear end of a deer, to say it nicely, and the face of a badger, and they stuffed them together. Jim Isle did it. So that's probably the oddest thing.
I think that's the oddest.
All right, what's the oddest historical item, you think? The strangest historical item? Because, I mean, God bless Jim for doing it. That's fun. But that's not really a piece of history. That's kind of an oddity just for the sake of oddity. Has somebody given you, like, the, say, Abraham Lincoln's comb when he stayed at the Brown Hotel or something like that?
No, we don't have anything like that.
General Lew Wallace's pen and ink when he stayed in town writing Ben-Hur.
No. We do have a land deed signed by Andrew Jackson.
Really?
Yes. But I'm not really sure if he signed it or if somebody else signed it for him, but it is that old. So.
Have you checked out Jackson's signature to see if it's
similar? It looks like it. I don't know.
But at the other museum, there's a document over there signed by Abraham Lincoln.
Well, it wasn't really signed by Abraham Lincoln because at the time, they had something kind of like a copy machine. He signed so many papers that it was like a little machine and it signed his signature. And we did have that authenticated, so it's
like a lithograph machine or something like that, right?
Yeah, kind of, and it's really neat and it's valuable, but it's not as valuable as if he would have really signed it.
Well, no, that's the thing. You get a actual signed Lincoln document. It's you're looking at several hundred to thousand dollars, right? That's fascinating. Okay, we're talking about the Hannah House Museum turning 140 years old. The Hannah House. Turning 140 years old this next week. All kinds of things going on. And you're open, what are your hours again?
It'll be 10 to 2.
Every Saturday.
Every Saturday.
Or by appointment. Folks need to give you a call at Uniquely Rustique if they'd like to make an appointment.
They can call us at Uniquely Rustique, yes.
What phone number?
842-3544.
That's really cool. Ladies, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Sounds like you got a lot going on.
Birthday cake.
I didn't even mention the birthday cake.
Yeah, we're serving cupcakes and stuff next weekend.
You needed to mention that earlier. I've just started the music.
Free refreshments, cupcakes, and lemonade.
And we've got a birthday cake with 140 candles. We're going to light that at 12:30.
So if you want to get in on the picture, come at 12:30.
Ladies, if I'm taking over the conversation, you need to stop me and say, Bruce, talk about the cake.
That's okay. We knew you'd get to it eventually.
Well, I already started the music, but I got another minute I can kill. All right, okay. So the big birthday cake is at 12:30, we think, next Saturday.
Right, the 17th.
If you can get your face close enough to 140 candles, who's going to blow it out, by the way?
We haven't gotten that far. Hopefully we'll have a lot of kids there willing to do it.
oh, that'll be a lot of fun, and it'll light up the south end of Fairfield.
Hopefully not. I mean, I hope we won't have to have the fire department on standby or anything like that.
Birthday cake and refreshments next Saturday at the Hanna House. Everybody ought to stop by. I wish I could next week, but I have promised I will be there before you close for the year. Is that all right?
We're going to hold you to that.
They're going to hold me to that. Folks, that's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. Ladies, thanks very much for coming.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, everybody.